One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the Four Center podcast feed is one of our deep dive episodes. We're going to dive relatively deep into pew pew pew, the power of blasters in Star Wars. I'm very excited to pew pew pew. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. I've been pew pew pewing since the 80s, kids. Really the 70s, but really since the 80s. This is going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, very excited to dive in. Before we do that, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Into the Dark by Claudia Gray. It's got lightsabers. It's got a sentient rock. It's got some pew, pew, pew. If you want to check it out, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. But that is not all. Ken, there's more.
There is more indeed. We have another offer from Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. They're offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, enter the coupon code FC35 or visit this website link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Lightsaber Collection. Get it and impress your friends with this Pages version of a lightsaber collection. Check it out with the code FC35.
That is right, FC35, your way to some lightsaber fun. But for now, we're going to get into the fun and the power of blasters. We have talked a lot about lightsabers on this podcast, you know, because they're pretty cool and important to Star Wars. But we also wanted to give blasters their due, the meaning of blasters, the fun of the blasters, and just talk about some of our favorites and just nerd out about cool blasters. So, Ken, I want to start with this. Was Obi-Wan right? Are blasters clumsy, random? Are they uncivilized and inelegant?
I don't think he's wrong. but I don't think all blasters, they definitely don't look clumsy, which I don't necessarily think that's what he meant. I can't remember if I'm going to do a random Peter Jackson quote. I kind of remember, or if it's George R. R. Martin, I don't know, but there's something about like sword fighting knights. It's pretty brutal, right? That's actually a pretty brutal way to fight, but there's something about there's an inherent elegance of being up front in person and seeing your enemy. And I'm not just saying that in a basic, yay, courage, ye coward, like don't hide. I'm just saying there's just something about it that connects with a lot of stories, which I think works for lightsabers. All that to say, I hear Obi-Wan, but man, I kind of with Han, I'd like a good blaster by my side.
Oh, yeah. And I think those are two great quotes to really frame our conversation as we dive in. Yeah. No, I love that this is a part of the introduction to blasters. If you start with, you know, the movie that would later become known as A New Hope, if you start with Star Wars, you know, I love what this says about Obi-Wan's character of his dissing blasters, Han having to stick up for them. Because it really introduces us to blasters in a way that allows them to be cool, which we will discuss, but also really heightens a lightsaber. I think it's one of the things that makes lightsabers have that great flair of these are the weapons of these, you know, brave knights who are gone now, but your father left you one. And it is, you know, this hero's weapon that is elegant and precise, not clumsy and random. You know, it's a way to really put over the lightsaber. But I feel like exactly what you're saying, what's at the heart of this quote for me is this idea that with a lightsaber, you have to be aware of your choice. You are right there and you can be very precise with it. And, you know, the people who use these weapons, Jedi and Sith, are in general quite precise with them. Whereas a blaster, you know, you can just start firing willy-nilly, right?
Yeah.
And then I also think there's this like great emotional thing to it, which I think is kind of the heart of Obi-Wan's statement, is that with a blaster, you can distance yourself from the choice of engaging in violence, right?
Yeah.
And for a Jedi with a lightsaber being right up there, like, I really can't distance myself from the smell of that cauterized arm
yeah.
that I just did. But if you're across the room with a blaster, right, you can just sort of pew, 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 and it hit something, right? And you can distance yourself from it. So I feel like that's a little bit of the stakes of what's going on in the comparison between the lightsaber and the blasters.
Yeah, no, absolutely, right? Especially old times and new times, the present times, and Obi-Wan and Han are sharing their views on it. There's something about that, something about the Empire just able to do that at a distance, including the Death Star. That's a big giant space blaster, right? So something about that.
It is. I would accept that as one of your favorite blasters. Accept that definition. So obviously blasters are based on, you know, real life guns. But what do you think their meaning is in Star Wars? If we look at them, is this fantasy weapon that exists in this fantasy world, you know, what do they symbolize? We've talked about lightsabers symbolizing choice, precision, expertise. What do blasters symbolize? Some of the same things or different things to you?
I definitely think it symbolizes choice, and it can be precision. Just ask Crosshair, and all those things you listed are needed. But there's something like expertise. Definitely, there's experts with blasters. We've seen it time and time again in Star Wars. But it seems there's no blaster forms, right? There's only Elizabeth. But in terms of blasters, I do see it as power, not necessarily just in the bad imperial version of power, but your own kind of personal power, your own kind of safety, a sense of survival. I've always gotten that from Han. This is, for lack of a better term, this Old West kind of vibe. Whether or not that's a realistic version of the Old West or not, I'll leave that for the smarter pundits and I. But just like, you got to go into town and you got to have that gun by your side, and that's might be how you're getting out. And you just kind of, you know, you just kind of need it. So I kind of like what that represents. It's a lifeline to some.
Yeah, no, I think we're in the same area here. I really was thinking of it a lot from Han's, like, you know, nothing beats a good blaster by your side, paraphrasing there. Mm-hmm. But this kind of feeling that blasters are for everyone, that they're a great equalizer. You know, anyone can strap one on, and there's the sort of the bad side of that, of the clumsy and random and the not being an expert. But that idea that, you know, I don't need to tap into anything. I don't need to you know, train for years under a master.
Right.
This is something that can be kind of can keep me safe, can be an extension of myself. This is something for simple people trying to make their way through the galaxy, you know?
Yeah, there's something I love. Speaking of Han, I love him passing that blaster down to Rey and how she's kind of like, yeah, I can handle myself type of attitude. He's like, yeah, I know. That's why you've earned this. That's why it's almost like his version of not training, but just like, yeah, I know that I'm not just handing this to an idiot. He's going to start firing. You know how to use this and you know when to use it.
Yeah, I think that's what's maybe important to me is because in making this contrast to lightsabers, you know, I think there can be a, like I said, a dark side of them, of like they're everywhere and they're dangerous and people aren't trained and all that. But the way the storytelling often goes in Star Wars, we are seeing people receive them in a lightsaber like way is the first step into a larger world, right? Mm-hmm. Into the, like this, you have been chasing being a part of the galaxy in one way or another. We got that great. Like Han being like, yeah, you can obviously handle yourself and I want you to be the crew and I want you to stick around. So I'm gifting this to you. And then the fact that it becomes, you know, legacy and she keeps it with her partially, I think, as a blaster, but hugely as a symbol of Han. But there's also that element when Beckett gives Han the DL-44, you know, and I think you can get distracted by the like, oh, that's a checkbox. That's how he got the blaster, you know. But if you ignore that part of it and just look at what's going on, that Beckett, everything Beckett is giving to Han is this sort of like wisdom to a youngster, wisdom to, the, you know, that he wishes an older person had given him, you know, and the blaster is a part of that. And that kiss of like, it's a hard knock life. And you need to defend yourself and stand up for yourself and make sure that everybody knows they can't push you around. And here's this symbol of this. Congrats, kid. You're an adult now.
Yeah, it's truly it's Han's twin sons. Yeah, you get this to help you stare. I'm there with you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I think there's lots of different great storytelling with them that adds meaning. I think they can really evoke, like you were talking about, the sort of the honorable gunslinger, right? Like arguably Han has moments of being the honorable gunslinger, certainly Din, right? Of like, he's got a code and it's really that, like, I will take this out when I need to. And if you make me kind of thing, and we get to see them, you know, handled by absolute pros with a ton of training, right? Like the clones and Cad Bane and the Fetts. But then we also get to see them be literally clumsy and random from the stormtroopers or crappy bounty hunters like Toro Calican. You know, we get to see like they're this this idea of power, and they can be used, sorry, Obi-Wan, with elegance and precision, or they can be used in a very clumsy and random and oppressive way.
Yes, yes, yeah. A tale of many blasters in the galaxy.
A tale of many blasters. I wanted to ask you what you think of the actual term blasters. Like, what happens when you forget that you have known and used that term for decades and just try to hear it again for the first time?
It might be the greatest name in Star Wars, greatest term in Star Wars. And I'd love, the history of obviously laser blasters. I get it. There's probably a lot of history to that word itself. I just think in terms of Star Wars, it's the best to say blasters. And what it just the imagery that comes with that, the sense of having one at your side. I mean, I've always loved it. Lightsaber, is it great? Yeah, it's great. It's totally great. But a blaster, man, just something about it.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I wanted to look at this is like, yeah, the word blaster has popped up in other places and laser blaster, but it so became this iconic thing of like Star Trek has phasers and but in Star Wars, they're blasters. And I think for me, it is one of those perfect Star Wars words that is both cool and silly. Like, I love the reverence when I hear you say it. It's a blaster, you know, nothing beats a good blaster by your side, you know, like I hope they don't have blasters. Like, I think it's come to feel cool. But when you take a big step back, it can sound like absolutely silly science fiction. And I think like the word blaster is like a way into the way that some people probably saw Star Wars when it first came out, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Blasters, you know, why don't they just call the ships zippers? You know, they fly around fast. Like, oh, the you know, blasters is so just straightforward, fun, silly science fiction. And yet it does with Star Wars and with all the way to the history still sound cool.
Well, look, you got you going back to the original moment. You got a character named Han Solo talking to Luke Skywalker about a blaster. Yeah, this is silliness. Kid, what are you doing? Let's go watch Apocalypse Now when it comes out. Like, you know, come on.
Yeah. And I think the reason I like thinking about that is I just don't think Star Wars has to be one or the other. And I know I've gone back and forth in my life for times like I like it because it's funny. It's ridiculous. Then I've like this is so deep, so profound. It is affecting my life. And I just love the tension that it is both. And it always has been. You know, I can go on and on about the meaning behind a blaster.
Yeah.
And it's cool and it's weird and funny at the same time.
And you never question as a kid, right? If you're listening to whatever generation you are, and you, whatever time you come to Star Wars, and if you're just now starting Star Wars, and you know you and I occasionally will run to a great Force Center friend who's like, I'm 28, but I hadn't really watched Star Wars till Force Awakens. It's like even then, blaster's just there. It always was there. You just accept it for what it is, and the power that it is that it brings.
Yeah, yeah, and I love seeing in Star Wars in particular, the first film, those moments where it could have just been one of the terms, right? Because Luke calls it a gun in the trash compactor, you know?
Yep.
And at one point, you know, robots is used instead of droids, you know?
That's very true.
So even in that first film, it's like, are these going to stick? And now it's like, no one, you know, not no one, but it doesn't happen very often, right? It's a blaster and everybody says blaster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd be interested to track where else if it deviates at all in later films, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it does other places, but now I'll have my ears pricked up. But I remember really noticing that a few years back of like, wow, there's some times where they don't use the Star Wars words.
Yeah, it's when they just didn't know there were Star Wars words yet.
It's just like the Star Wars pie is still in the window and it is not like fully cooked. It's not fully set, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of our blasters, our cool, weird, fun blasters, did your parents have any concerns about you having toy blasters or pretending your fingers were a blaster when you were a kid? Because, you know, I don't want to get too serious about it, but I also want to have, you know, a little bit of a sense of responsibility is that they are a fantasy weapon that comes out of a real life weapon and in a weapon that is really a focus of discussion and concern right now in the real world and certainly was back then too. So I was really curious for you if you went through anything with that with your parents.
No, not at all. This could go into deeper discussions as well. They were more concerned, specifically my father was more concerned that some weird religion was being taught to me that contradicted our religion. It was not on board for the Force.
So your dad was like, look, here, have 800 toy blasters, but don't go to school and start talking about your mystical energy field.
Yeah, I had, and my folks, my dad was in the Navy, but my folks not going on ours to this day, not that they don't, you know, support people owning them, all those kind of bigger discussions in life, but they've never had them. They've never wanted them. So I didn't grow up around guns, but I had a veritable arsenal of toy guns. And I would go to friends of mine that lived a little outside of town, more of a rural part of Arroyo Grande, California. And we'd go, they had an acre or two of property, and we would, every weekend, we're out there playing army, you know, and sometimes it was playing Star Wars. And I had a long trench coat, which actually was a normal size jacket. It was so tiny as a kid. It just was a trench coat and I'd be on Endor, you know? And I had my favorite things to collect were the muskets they'd sell at a gift shop near the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland. That's no longer there. Cause it was just nothing but guns. And I would collect, I had like a rifle, a little blaster, like I had a little, there, I called it a blaster. There you go. And I would use those as my guns on Endor. So yeah, I was just go crazy, kid. Go crazy. Go play guns. Whatever you do, do not use the Force.
Did you take your pirate era musket and pretend it was Hans DL 44?
Yeah. Well, I had three muskets. I had a shorter barreled one, like a shorter, like mid range, almost like a shotgun size. Then I had a long rifle. Now, mind you, I didn't get this as a kid and carry it around Disneyland. So I had to go on the rides with this long rifle, like a Davy F. and Crockett defending.
And no bright orange colors at that time either, right?
No. That one could have been problems. Then I had a shorter one, a pistol, but it was double barreled. You could cock it twice, right? And so I use that one as my space blaster, which, by the way, Kira's kind of got something similar, which is why I love that blaster. It took me back to being on a hill, 8 years old, fighting stormtroopers or occasional Ewoks, depending on my mood that day. And again, just not using the Force. Ken, do not believe in the Force. Go take this blaster, which... Joseph, you don't want to get deep, but with me growing up and then me always telling all of y'all, I like the war versus the lore. I wasn't necessarily encouraged to follow the lore of the Jedi. I was more encouraged to get in that forest and fight the stormtroopers.
Hey, feel free to go as deep as you want. I just don't want to turn this into a full discussion of, actual, very, very important gun opinions in the real world. Wanted to touch on it as it addresses Star Wars. But the war versus lore, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's really insightful. If they were like, look, it's fine that the funny space people are shooting each other and chopping one another's limbs off, but don't be getting any ideas about that BS Yoda says.
Yep. None of that mysticism is that term they use, which is, I think, a loaded term now to use, I would say. It was love your Star Wars, repent on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was very young, there wasn't any concern coming from my parents. My parents were pretty young when they had me and my brother. So they were definitely of the Beatles, Woodstock generation. My dad is and has been a collector of guns, super responsible. I didn't even know it until I was a teen. He was like, I own them, and they're the old collector guns are locked in one safe, and the ammunition is locked in another safe, and you will never find them. They're hidden. So he was always a very, very responsible collector and marksman who would do competitions and really proud once, and he's like, look, I shot this card when it was inserted in the bullseye sideways. So I shot it to the side. My dad had this sort of relationship to it, which I think for him really grew out of some of the influences that Star Wars grew out of the westerns, right? And the idea of an honorable gunslinger, I think that's where his fascination was, because those were his lightsabers when he was a kid,
Yes.
And I think when I was really young, my parents were just happy that this thing made me and my brother happy and happy with the fantasy of it. I don't think there's ever any concern about me confusing the Force with any other religion, but I think there was kind of a tipping point when my mother started to get concerned with my overall investment in fantasy. I remember two things in particular. I remember we were at a kind of a Target Walmart-y type place, but like sad Target at the time, called Shopko, that was in Minnesota at the time. And, I think we couldn't afford action figures that day, so I just had looked at them. And then we walked out, and it was like this beautiful sunset of the pinks and the purples and all that. And I was just like, I stopped in the parking lot and was like, it's Cloud City. And she got real concerned and was like, it's not real, right?
Not real, kid.
Yeah. It was a real, like, that's great that you go to Imagination Land, but that's Imagination Land, right? I was really into superheroes around the same time too. So I had started to get bummed when I learned about mutants. In Marvel in particular, we were just like, well, you're just born with them. You hit puberty and there they come. And this was a couple years before puberty. And it was just like, I remember telling both of my parents in the car, like, I've accepted that when I hit puberty, I won't get superpowers. And I thought they would think I was real mature for having accepted it. But I think it was more the concern that was something I was truly wrestling with. Right. So I think coming out of all of that, there was clearly this moment of tension where I think my mother in particular truly weighed is there enough fantasy around Star Wars blasters? And because she had concern about G.I. Joe when it started to become popular.
Right.
And like a little bit of concern about Transformers. But the G.I. Joe was a little bit like, clearly she didn't understand it. You know, it's funny to me now. It's like, I think that might really be about the real military. And that's not correct, right?
I mean, it's a little bit of a recruitment. Definitely a commercial for toys.
Definitely a commercial for toys. But like, but she did get to a point where she was concerned about like, maybe let's not have toys of actual guns, blasters are okay. And I think that just really part of the reason I wanted to ask this question and have this conversation and hear your story is that really lodged in my head at an early age about how important that is to the legacy of Star Wars, that the fantasy of it. Like, there are swords in the real world, but lightsabers feel so far from them that they feel extra safe. You know, for a parent like mine, blasters made it fictional enough that it felt safe. And then I've just been fascinated as we've gotten older, and Star Wars does seem to just be this safe space to wrestle with darkness and violence, you know? We've talked to parents and asked parents this question of, like, all parents seem like cool with like, here, kid, you too. Here's a Darth Vader bib. wear a monster. That there's something in Star Wars that it feels like it creates this specific kind of fantasy that makes it safe to play with dangerous ideas.
Is that George's original intent? Like, you know, the lessons for 12-year-olds we know, but is that part of it? Whether intentional or not, it exists. And I think you're right, Joseph. I think it's there. I think it's there to the idea of an honorable gunslinger. You said that. I'm thinking, your dad probably, you know, loved the man who shot Liberty Valance or something. But like, do we have the version of that in Star Wars? And we love Han and would consider Han that. But he had to struggle with how do I use this weapon, how do we use myself in this galaxy the right way? And Din Djarin comes to mind as, you know, he was the gunslinger type. Literally, that's what Favreau put up on Instagram early on, right?
Yeah.
That's what this is. And it's like, he's having to learn and how to use that, how to use his power, how to use his weapons, and what he uses for. And I think there's some growth. So I think Star Wars does do that. And essentially always has. But I think now you can drill down and be a little more specific and play around with that. And there's a safety. Now it's a big, I have a Han blaster and a bowcaster that are the Nerf ones, and they're big and bright and orange, and it feels completely something separate. But it doesn't mean the bigger questions can't be brought up in Star Wars of just who you are and what you're using these for.
Yeah. And I love what you said something there about the honorable gunslinger and that anybody could do this. Because I think that's something that my dad, I think, probably really responded to in Westerns, and that tradition continues in the sort of honorable gunslingers we see in Star Wars, is they are the people who are just regular folks, right? Yeah. Like Luke is, he is a moisture farmer right now, but he has this destiny. He has this power, you know, that fate gave him, and he's going to have to choose how to use it. But then, you know, in Westerns, a lot of time it really is like look, I just came out to, you know, settle this town for my family, or if you got a little bit more of the grizzled one of like, I used to have a family, now I don't. But, you know, they're not royalty, right? Mm-hmm. They're not chosen ones. They're always people who are just kind of trying to get by and do what is right and defend people. And I think some of that mood that comes with those Western honorable gunslingers really comes through to the characters and gives blasters some of that meaning of, look, I'm just trying to get by and do the right thing.
Yeah, just trying to get by and do the right thing. We need a gunslinger Star Wars series, an exposé.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And before we move on from this question of darkness, I just wanted to share a funny thing. I don't know if you're getting these ads, Ken, but I'm getting some auto-generated ad on Facebook for Star Wars products. I get a lot of them. But right now I keep getting this one for Star Wars pillowcases. And they are for younger kids and like younger size bed sheets and pillowcases. And the ad even says something like, you know, maybe ask your fairy godmother for this. And it's not just a pillow of Darth Vader, but it's a pillow of Vader with his blade raised and cocked. And it looks like, kids, doesn't this feel like a safe place to lay your head down?
No. No nightmares here. Wow.
So Star Wars always dabbling with darkness. I want to be sure to ask you this question, Ken. Mm-hmm. In the age-old Star Wars debate, at this point in your life, would you rather have a lightsaber or a blaster?
Blaster. He said with trying to hold back his enthusiasm for a weapon of that nature. I hope to eventually get a Galaxy's Edge lightsaber. I have some great collector lightsabers here. I have my Luke Skywalker 1995 Power of the Force version. Love those. Want those too as well. I have, like I mentioned, I have like the Han one, the Nerf one, and they're bright orange and stuff. But I also have like a realistic, feels weighted in your hand replica of one of the blasters, one of the guns from Men in Black. Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones movie, the first one. There's a line of those that exist, and there was like James Bond weapons and stuff like that. I would be up for like a Han DL-44 replica like that. Like if given a choice, do you want a lightsaber or do you want to go build your blaster at, Pepe's blaster builder on Galaxy's Edge? I'd go there. I'd go the blaster builder.
I want to go to Pepe's blaster barn for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Well,
for real world reasons. that we're doing our best to acknowledge, but not disappear into. Yeah, I am always going to be more of a lightsaber person, but that was part of the reason I wanted to do this episode, because I do love blasters, but sometimes I just kind of take them for granted because they're there, and I wanted to have a chance to hear your thoughts and to kind of drill down into what I find meaningful and cool and interesting about them. But, I'm lucky to have a lightsaber that I built at Galaxy's Edge. I would probably shell out money for a replica of a DL-44 because, yeah, it does. It has that weight and that history and that meaning to it. But I think I got to be honest. If somebody just appeared and said, you can have a real functioning lightsaber or a real functioning blaster, I'd be like, well, odds are much higher I'm going to hurt myself with a lightsaber, but I'm going to take the risk.
Exactly.
That said, Ezra had the right idea. Clearly, one should try to beat this question always by saying, I want a combo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mocked that lightsaber when it first came out on Jedi Alliance. I've grown up. Happy to say I've changed since then. I think it's one of my favorites now.
Was it like too on the nose for you? Was it like a kid's fantasy coming true of like, yeah. No, I don't want to choose. I want both.
I think so. I mean, because he had the little slingshot, right? Which was such a... It's his kid. It's his kid's show. And I wasn't super, super, super negative on the show. I just, I wasn't there for it. And I didn't think it was as deep. And by season two, I was like, oh, no, I'm missing the boat. I started to change. And that's around, I forget, is it in season one? I think he builds the saber end of season one. And so it might have just been the same vibe. But I was like, and it shoots? Like, come on. Now, like literally like a year or two later, I was like, and it shoots? Wow. What a genius idea. We all been sitting around not thinking about this. Come on, do it. So I do love it. Is it always a good idea? Is it always practical? I don't know. Quite frankly, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just going to start, writing on toilet stalls. Ezra was right. And people won't know what I'm talking about. But if you happen to go into that bathroom stall, you'll know. Ezra was smart to have a combo lightsaber blaster.
Not wrong.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into just having some fun discussing some of our favorite blasters, some of our favorite blaster scenes, and all sorts of fun stuff like that. We will be back in just a moment.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back to continue our pew 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 conversation. Ken, I don't want to just do a full episode of Star Wars Ranked, so I tried to keep it limited, but I felt like it would be so much fun to discuss a few of our favorite blasters or style of blasters. I suggested that we tried to limit it to 3, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and go first, either with your blaster or tell me a little bit about, is this a difficult process for you? Do you just know your top 3 or is it a challenge?
It's always a challenge. And a while ago now, Andres Cabrera had come on Star Wars Ranked and we did a Star Wars Ranked on blasters. He wanted to do that topic and he had a great list of blasters and I had a list of blasters, some of which I might bring up and talk about today. But you and I talk often and even some of our fans, when they write in questions to us, the listener questions, they'll mention like today my answer is and tomorrow it can change. So I had to dig a little deep and talk about just figure out what I want to talk about. And style of blasters is a great question too. I think I go for pistols more than anything, even to the point of I was always slightly interested and obsessed that Rex has like 2 pistols essentially.
Right.
Love that. And I think that might be what I would go for if I was a clone fighting in a clone war. So yeah, I'll start there and then I can go into specifics if you want here.
Yeah, I think when I started to dive deep, I realized like, we could have made this even longer. We could have done favorite pistols. We could have done favorite rifles. We could have done favorite larger ordnance.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different styles. But yeah, I gravitate toward the pistols as well. So I got three, but then I got about seven options under that. And we're going to see what happens. We're going to see if I manage to stick to the first three. But why don't you start? Where do you begin?
So when we did that ranked, as often we do on rank, we put things in the Hall of Fame because they're just kind of in a way above the discussion. They're going to be there. Let's put them there in the Hall of Fame and we'll discuss other things. But for this list, you talk about my just personal favorite. And we're talking about the history, talking about you and I as kids in the 80s. The Hans DL-44, you can't not think about it. You can't not discuss it. And you can't not dream about owning it. And I've had different versions. I have a belt buckle version. I've had, the Kenner versions. I got the plastic orange one right now in my garage of all places. I can just pick it up during a workout and be like, yeah, I feel tough and strong. Got a Hans blaster. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful work of art. And I even love the extended story of it now with Beckett having a different version, an extended version of that. I just absolutely love it and think it is what it is for a reason. Hans blaster, the DL-44, is just perfection for design.
This is so great. I almost, wanted to have the conversation with you of should we do a Hall of Fame or just see what happens? Because my first is DL-44 too. So
yes,
because it's just it is you can't not talk about it, right? Because I think one of the beautiful things about blasters in Star Wars is you can pull out your favorites, but kind of what makes you my favorites is because they're the ones that have some variety. You know, it's like the blasters really speak to one another. Lightsaber hilts are cool because they have different designs, but blasters even more so. The variety kind of defines it. And DL-44 it's ground zero for blasters, right? It establishes what a Star Wars blaster is, what this mix of, the Western gunslinger, but the weird space adventure, it is that blaster, the DL-44 is like Western meets science fiction and becomes space fantasy. Like, even the way it's constructed, the history of it, that it's got these elements of real guns, and like so much of it looks like a real gun with that big chunky middle. And then it's got that just absolute Flash Gordon pew, pew, pew barrel, right? With the silver and the widening of the absolute tip of the barrel. So damn cool, just aesthetically.
Yeah. It like I said, perfection. Absolutely. Yeah. And what is it? It's got like, I'm not a gun aficionado in that sense of like, it's got a little bit of like a Ruger or this. It's got a lot of old blasters, which is how they kind of designed these and literally how they kind of put these together when they're talking about designing Star Wars back in the day. So it invokes realism. It invokes things we actually know and familiar with. But you're right. Then just like Star Wars does, like New Hope does, specifically New Hope does. This is a world, this is almost Modesto, or it's your hometown. It's wherever you are in your life when you see the film, and there's these things you know, and that's how we tell this story. And I think this blaster really just captures that vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, another big part of it was like, that's so cool is Han's blaster, and then to see Luke with a version of it in Empire, right?
Yes.
And for me, it's like, it's obviously other people have them. Beckett had one, gave it to Han. It's not the only one in the galaxy. I see that there is that in Legends, Luke's was technically a different model and they have different scopes. But look, from my kid's perspective. Han, it was like Luke growing up because like, he's got a blaster kind of like Han's now too. And, he can grow up and become cool like Han too.
Yeah, but to the point, later on in trivia contests, we'd need to know the exact model of what Luke was holding there. Didn't matter. You're right. You saw that, and that was a Star Wars blaster. I didn't know the term DL-44 until I was in high school or something. Whatever. It didn't matter to me. It was Han's blaster, and then to see Luke with one too, it just made it just that's what a Star Wars blaster should be.
Yeah, looks so cool. All right, that's great. So what do you got next?
All right, so this is where I We talked about this before, and we can make jokes about our answers changing, but I really needed to go with just, I sat back, I closed my eyes and just go, where do I go? Where do I go? And this is one that Andres Cabrera talked about back in the day, and he was so right about it. And I think, especially as, you know, Mandalorian comes along and then we're spending more time with Boba Fett now, the Westar 34 blaster pistol, this is Django's, the elegance, the sleek, the different sound, everything about that fight with Obi-Wan and how he uses it. And then literally he's got the, you know, the spinning gun. He's a gunslinger too. Like I really love the blaster and it fits in with the prequel vibe, the prequel designs, right? Like,
yeah,
another era where, yeah, New Hope was, you know, the '70s. We were driving Gremlins and, you know, '50s, we, you know, model, you know, not Model T's, but Thunderbirds and all these kind of old classic cars in the '40s, '50s and '60s with these great designs. Django's really captured that too.
Yeah, no, look, man, just pulling these up, they're sleek and they're silver and they do just look like Django Fett, of like they are compact, precise and deadly, right? That they're mm-hmm. just, they're going to come spinning out and fire's just going to spit out of them and there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah. 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 Right.
But you're so right about the elegance, and so much flows from that blaster in the holiday special. And this is, you know, one of the ones that was inspired by it. And then Din's is as well.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool to see. But it doesn't have, you're so right. It's kind of inspired by Boba's in the holiday special, which was the Sacros K-11. But it's got any of that rugged, you know, beat up, you know, aesthetic taken away, and it is clean and sharp. He is going to kill you and look fancy doing it.
Yeah. 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 Right. It's just fancy, classy,
yep.
Violent. Precise.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Westar that you could somehow serve a cocktail with these guys. These are great.
Yeah.
You can wear these on your cufflinks.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and then the final one to discuss, and we can go is on this mini ranked here, right? Going into other ones. This is one that I think I fell in love with more when you got to kind of play with it or play with a version of it in Battlefront 1, and that is Krennic's DT-29 Heavy Blaster Pistol. This is one that's got a little kind of almost like a revolver vibe to it. It's got some wood grain on it. Looks like I might pick this up in Red Dead Redemption 2 if I get enough money playing poker. And even though it's blasters and Krennic aren't necessarily hand in hand, right? I mean, he's got the Death Troopers around him. You got the thing at the end, you know, him trying to shoot Jin and everything. So factors there. It's just one of those things where I don't necessarily always need to be. It's like we collect these toys and you get a figure and sometimes they're accessory or something that you didn't necessarily see in the movies or didn't factor into the story, but you had it. And you had it in your hands, and that's what I think about Krennic. I think about it a lot. I love playing with it, and I just love in this world of big blasters and, you know, proton torpedoes and all these explosive thermal detonators. You got Krennic with this old-style, almost revolver kind of weapon.
Yeah, no, I really, really like it. I like that it's got this great combination pulling it up of it's got all the chrome. It's got a little bit of that kind of like almost exposed workings of the barrel and the scope that kind of harken back to the DL-44. But then it's got this really nice wooden handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it looks like this. It is not like, hey, the Empire just issued these, right? These are way too nice for the Empire to be making mass marketing. So this has got some like history and some ego to it.
Ego indeed. And there's something that you're saying there of like, if Krennic was like, I'm not going to have the little issued one. I'm going to go out and get something. I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to get closer seats to the meeting and I want to get a bigger, better blaster.
Yeah. How did it handle in the video game? Because I didn't play that first one. What was it like?
It was wonderfully frustrating. What I mean by this is because it was that version. The reason I say that version is I'm almost wondering, like, could it be slightly different? You know, I don't know. I can't remember. But it was like you had six shots. It was like a revolver.
Okay.
And you know, so they're powerful shots, but you gotta be precise. You gotta have some patience. And I am not a patient player when it comes to this game. If anyone's ever watched me play on a stream or something, I am just hold down the X button and fire, 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 till my gun dies and my gun overheats. So there was something that forced me to think different about how to play.
Nice, nice. And so it had the kind of six shooter quality. Is it the kind of that does like big damage, but is slow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you can't get caught in a lot of shootouts.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the great thing from years of playing video games, sometimes with blasters, sometimes like Red Dead Redemption or Resident Evil. Like anytime you can get the big, you know, great stopping action revolver, I always want to walk around with them.
Yeah.
But then you really need to be good to use them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great preliminary list there. The first three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, like I said, DL44, I shared some thoughts there. Mm-hmm. The next place I go is Satine's Lament, as it is known in modern canon, I believe, from a book or trading card. But it is Leia's sporting pistol, Leia's Defender. I was fascinated by this one. You know, since I was a kid, this idea that not only, you know, does Leia have a blaster, obviously, but that it's different. And I think maybe a part of my like utter fascination with it as a kid is I can't remember which action figure of Leia it came with, but I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this dream of like, oh, man, if I could ever have that pistol back again, that would be so great. but going to modern times, just the elegance of it, the fact that it is so long that it kind of has this length of like a James Bond pistol with a compact pistol with a silencer, but that's not really what it is because the whole thing is just that long.
Yeah.
And just the idea that this blaster so looks like Leia, mm-hmm. that it is elegant and precise, but it means business, and it is not to be messed with or questioned.
This back in that old ranked episode was my number one choice because it
really,
yeah, because of what it represents, and it's got a great history. Now the connection to Satine is amazing. It's one, I love that little addition there in canon. But there's something to it here, and again, trying to speak carefully and choose my words carefully. Growing up in the 80s, you had Han, you had his blaster, Han's gun, and this one, it seemed like Leia's pistol, right? It was sleeker, it was smaller, and I'm not just here to say it was a girl's blaster versus Han of a boy's, but this was also this era, right? This was, you're coming out of this where you had those kind of divisions as unneeded and unnecessary as they were. So I kind of grew up looking at that going, oh, yeah, Leia's got a blaster too. But guess what? Leia's blaster is one I see in action first. Leia's blaster is one that needs to be taken more seriously first to me growing up. And stun or not, she's got it out. She's ready to go. And so there was always that striking image to me, even as a young kid in a different era of taking in a lot of this content. That it transcended any boundaries anyone tried to put up around that blaster itself. It wasn't just a toy for a girl. It was Leia's blaster as well. And that meant a lot to me as a kid coming up.
Yeah, no, I think you're saying some great things and some things that just have to be acknowledged about the culture, which, you know, you and I grew up in, that is thankfully changing. But I think that there is something about it that, not only is it aesthetically cool with just that sort of that length and that something like that thin is just as deadly. And we know because it's one of the, you know, very early blasters we see go off.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about it that transcended that, like, oh, it is, you know, elegant pistol. There's some that's for that. It's a feminine pistol. It's more for me, I think, growing up that it was like it made sense for the character of Leia.
Yeah,
that looks like a diplomat's pistol.
Yeah,
you know, that looks like somebody who is, you know, not just rough and rugged and runs in screaming and figure it out later like Han. That looks like a DL-44. This looks like a much like her mother. Like I tried negotiating with first, and now unfortunately we have to negotiate with blasters. This is the one I use.
Yeah, and I always heard, did she come back with that in Jedi, or is that slightly different? I'm gonna look that up as we type. But
no, I believe it is the same blaster that throws Poe up against the wall when she sets it to not just stun, but stun and toss.
Yes, and then I think Return of the Jedi as well, right? I'm trying to do a quick research. I didn't think about it, but point is, even then, even if it's a similar blaster, you know, she sticks with that style because it is of her, and it is as a weapon of choice. And that's
yeah. I mean, getting down into the deep, like, is it the exact same model? Maybe there's something there. I didn't do that deep of a dive, but yeah, for sure, it's the I love you, I know exchange in Return of the Jedi, and she's like, look what I got.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so great design, says so much about Leia's character, creates from that first film such great variety in blasters and what they can mean.
Yeah.
Then strange, we're on the same path, my friend. This one is something that I do like from being a toy. I like the look of it, but my love has deepened from using it excessively in video games.
Yeah.
And that is the Relby V10. There are some different versions of it, but basically it's Bossk's blaster.
Yes.
I was so fascinated with this, with his action figure as a kid, because it was so different, because it had to be, because he had weird lizard arms and his fingers are twisted weird to hold it. And you kind of got to get it, you know, in the crook of his lizard arm. And it always just looks so cool and so different. And I was always so hyper aware as a kid of like, it's going to suck if I lose. And I didn't know E-11 and DL-44 then.
Yeah.
You know, it'd suck if I lost a Stormtrooper blaster or a Han's blaster, or Luke's blaster, but I have another one. And then I was like really aware, like, I can't lose Bossk's blaster.
Oh.
It comes only with Bossk. It's Bossk's blaster.
Bossk. Right?
Yeah, there are a couple like that. But it is so, so cool and so great in the most recent Battlefront, you know,
yeah.
That it shoots the mines, and it's got the great, great intense scope. You get to see him use it in the Clone Wars era. And it's one of the blasters that over the years has made me go like, we should find time to just talk about blasters being cool, because when it popped up in Mandalorian, I kind of lost my mind, and I didn't expect to, you know, it was one of those details that I nerded out about harder than I expected to.
It looks like Bib Fortuna holding the staff that came with the Kenner figure that you never seen before. I mean, that's also why we buy a ticket to this party. You know, it's those things as well as the big stuff and the times we are cried or moved and find deep meaning in Leia's blaster. Yeah, there's that. But also, man, that gun. Yeah, that's cool.
That's a cool blaster. Yeah. And since we used DL-44 already, I'll shout out one other blaster that's really been speaking to me, and it's bigger than a pistol, but it's still in that general range. It is the DC-15S blaster carbine. Had to make sure I got that right, because it is one of the clone armaments. There's a lot of clone blasters, but this one we're seeing a lot in Bad Batch. Obviously, we see it in Clone Wars, and it's kind of, you know, it's designed to look like it can elide into what becomes the classic E-11. Mm. But in particular, it's just, it's really blunt. It's, you know, all black, but it's got this cool little energy on the bottom. If you pull it up, the DC-15S has got a little bit of this lower part of the barrel that juts out, and then on top it's got these sighting marks right at the tip of the barrel that make these little loops, and it's just, it looks like an absolute professional's weapon. It evokes the E-11, but it's also just like looks so iconic and distinctive that every time I see it, it's just like, I love this era.
Yeah, the sniper scopes worked in conjunction with the holographic data readouts instead of Clone's helmet. No, it's a simple design. It's definitely, like I said, a previous era's design, so to speak. But it, in being that, it almost is better to me. It's just, it's almost more direct, more smooth of a design.
Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes like Kathleen Kennedy had that great talk about in one of the behind the scenes Mandalorian things about Star Wars characters having a great silhouette. And like this blaster has a great silhouette.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very distinct.
All right. Did you want to share any runner-ups then?
Yeah, just going through a little bit. I've always loved, you know, everyone knows I love the Biker Scouts. One of the reasons I love them is that EC-17 holdout blaster.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny thing. There's some about it compared to, you know, the Stormtroopers run around with the E-11s, but even some of the longer rifles and everything, and just them riding around on their motorcycles, me on a palm tree in my backyard, pretending to be being a biker scout or on a spear bike. And just that little pistol, I always kind of liked it. It's dangerous, man. He puts it up to Leia's head. Come on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely scary. Yeah, I think the last one I wanted to share, I already mentioned as a runner-up, the Sacros K-11. Now, I knew for a long time, because it was on the back of the Power of the Force, and then in the books, the Boba Fett sawed off E3. But the Sacros K-11 is this blaster that's in the holiday special, and the general vibe of it is much more of like kind of Old West pistol. And the Westar takes some information from it. Din's IB-94 does. I think a little bit the DL-18s that become such a big deal in Return of the Jedi and Jabba's Palace. And it just wanted to pay tribute to that original. And it was really fun. It was just sort of like the will of the Force coming together, Ken. We were pulling, I was pulling the notes together for this episode and writing down my thoughts right after I had opened up that vintage collection Boba Fett action figure. So I was like, wait, I want to look at this action, this blaster. It's right over here on this action figure I just bought.
That's awesome.
Right there in the package. So that's an honorable mention for me. Let's move on to talking about some blaster moments. What are some of your favorite moments of blaster use in Star Wars?
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if we'll have the same. We're always in danger of crossover. We love surprising each other. So I'll start here. I got three. I put Jango taking out Coleman Tribor.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Rest in peace. We did the in memoriam of Jedi Coleman Tribor, but it's tragic. It's so Tribor's close to being a hero. Ending the war before it started, and it's Jango, and it's everything about the blaster that you and I talked about, that Western 34. It's smooth, it's sleek, and it's got attitude, and the spin, the cowboy, and just him like, yep, another day at the office shooting Jedi out of the sky, and then what it leads to. It's in a movie that especially back in the day challenged me more than it certainly does now, but it was one of those moments of like, yeah, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've always loved that moment. And I love that more and more people are just becoming a fan of the death of Coleman Tribor. But it is just such a great moment. It's like he's got the right idea. Just go to the source of the problem. And the fact that it makes Jango such a badass of like, yeah, no, you're not getting through my hail of fire. Sorry, you're not that good. And the spin. Great choice.
Yes. Yes.
What are your others?
So one of the, it's quicker, I was going to pinpoint the specific one, but I think everyone knows on Bespin, I have loved this one since I first saw it on VHS in about 83 there, because Empire was kind of like the last one I took in on a big level where I just sat down and like, let's watch this movie. And I always say I watched them out of order, but it really does seem like I saw them in order. It's all jumbled into one mess. When they're trying to escape on Bespin, Leia has a stormtrooper rifle, has an E-11, and just blasts the hell out of a stormtrooper. And he goes up against a wall, and there was a still photo of it in one of the many promotional books, or maybe it might have even been like the visual, you know, the book adaptation of the movie in the picture book form, where like I swear you could see the heart of the stormtrooper, right? The freeze frame was him up against the wall with a big gaping red bloody maw on his chest.
You're talking about like Simpson's joke. This is the moment that Nelson's heart breaks. Like this is the moment that stormtrooper meets the end.
Yes. And so it all connected. And obviously we've talked a lot here. Just like sometimes a promotional poster, can you suddenly think you saw that in a movie and maybe you didn't, you know, it's just like, and it's a brief second in the film, all rolls into one in my young brain. But for years I've just loved that Leia, that's Leia in that moment. We know she knows her way around these blasters, but just getting out of Bespin trying, and just boom, just there's a shock to it, there's a thump to it, and I've just always loved that moment.
Oh, that is a great one. You know what, I'll share a couple and we can end on your last one. Sure. In hopes that I don't say the same thing. For me, I think for more modern ones, just for absolute, that's cool. Din shooting the door closed in Chapter One of The Mandalorian. Like,
that's true.
That's a great quick draw. It's a great way. Like the blasters and the pew 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 are so cool, but it's that, you know, it can be a danger of like, yeah, no, they're all shooting at each other again. Great. Yeah. So finding ways to make it fresh and make it do like, wow, he did something cool. To put him on that level with Jango taking down Coleman And then just be like, yeah, no, I could have just shot him, but instead I shot the door to cut him in half.
Right. Right.
That's pretty cool. This is not surprising, but I had to include the greatest ironic blaster moment. Obi-Wan using Grievous's very cool blaster, the DT-57 Annihilator, to shoot his organ sac.
Yes, yes.
His very flammable organ sac in the great callback of So Uncivilized. But also, like, that was a funny beat to me, is a moment of Obi-Wan triumph that will immediately be taken away from him, very sadly, by Order 66. But also, like, hey, Obi-Wan is determined to end this war and to defeat Grievous, uses what's there. And the fact that he is able to use it with such great precision and it gets the job done sort of undercuts some of his, complaining about it. So it's a great ironic Obi-Wan moment as well.
I kind of had good bet that you were going to talk about it, because it's just such a wonderful moment. And again, you go back to those prequel era stuff and you're coming out of things and you're like, I don't know if I like the movie, but when he shot him, when Obi-Wan shot, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so uncivilized in the toss aside. So great. Yep. And then, oh man, I'm so torn. I was trying to keep it to three. I think I got to go with this one. Han quick drawing his DL-44 on Vader in Bespin. That is such a great blaster moment. Like, shared a couple that are like successes. It's such a cool moment of, there's no thought. He sees Vader and it's out. It's such a cool quick draw, which we get to see him use his blaster a lot in A New Hope and not as much in Empire Strikes Back. But that's like the shot of Han quick drawing, right?
Yeah.
And then it's all for naught. And the utter coolness of nope, nope, nope. And then it flies out of his hand. And that look, that startled look on Harrison Ford's face, on Han's face, is like, okay, so I was really wrong about this whole Force thing.
Yeah.
It's a great classic blaster moment of like, anybody else, Han would have taken him down with that quick draw, but not this time.
It's so funny because you're thinking the beautiful moment in Force Awakens of him saying it's true, all of it. You know, you're thinking of the entire franchise thus far and everything you know Han's seen and experienced, but he could just be talking about that moment. Oh no, trust me. It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My future dead father-in-law just took that blaster right out of my hand. Not a damn thing I could do about it.
Yeah.
And then I'll shoot this one in real quick. No pun intended. My runner-up there was Leia bullseyeing the AT-ST driver on Endor.
Yes.
Is that your number one?
No, but it is up there with that Empire moment I talked about. I just still think that's one of the greatest shots in Star Wars.
It's so triumphant. The Ewoks are getting in the battle and they're all Han, Chewie are throwing stormtroopers around. And Leia's just like, what is the biggest problem? That guy.
Well,
you're
plus,
gone.
Because I'm trying to remember it a little bit from memory here, but she picks up the blaster and then has a moment of like, what? Oh, that guy. And that guy's just up there like, hello. What's going on? Yeah.
He thought he was done for the day of like, they're captured. Yeah. And like, he's like popped out to just like watch the processing. Like, yeah, they're going to put him in the cuffs. They're going to march him away. Yeah. This is great. And like, he's just there to watch and like, nope. But like, he's boss, the biggest problem, right?
Yeah. Boss just said, stand here with some intimidation in you. Here we go. Oh, I'm dead.
Nope. Yep. It's just a great Leia moment. So what is your final moment?
Well, it builds wonderfully off the Empire moment. I mean this with all sincerity. Han on Savarine and the shooting and a killing of Beckett. Love everything about it. It is not. It does work. It does work on a little meta level of Han shot first. I think that's
absolutely.
It's absolutely built into it. But it remains one of my favorite moments in that film. It remains one of the most important lessons for Han. And yes, a lot of it's everything Beckett's taught him. We totally get it. But it goes to what you're talking about. It goes to Greedo. It does go to all those things. It goes to Han as a character. And that is the lesson. That is to learn what he learns. It isn't just about not trust anyone. And top of the show, we're talking about what the blaster represents. You and I both go to Han a lot. What he said about a good blaster at his side. That ties to that moment. And it is survival. It's not just simply power to me. that Han specifically has a blaster. It is survival. It is getting through the galaxy. And that is, to me, the Han that walks into Chaman's cantina is born out of that moment. And it all syncs up to me. And it's the emotional canon of what he learns and what he carries with him, more than just shooting first or not. And you can make a fun joke or a t-shirt and George will wear it. Kasdan's dealing with it. And they might be having some fun. John Kasdan might have some fun, but you know, Lawrence Kasdan's going to want to actually explain things and go into what Han learned and how it carried out through his the rest of his life. And that's why you and I love Solo, and why so many people love Solo. There's so many things in there. Just set the topic and the many thesis statements for Han's life. It begins in that movie. I love that moment. I love everything about it. I love Chewie's reaction. I love Han's reaction and rushing to Beckett even after he does. I really do love that moment and love that use of the blaster.
I'm so glad that was your number one. That was one that I wrestled with, and I went with Han on Bespin. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a perfect one to end our little mini lists on there, because you're exactly right. It is just a summation of what that blaster means to Han, of and what Beckett is trying to convince him that it means. Yeah. Of, look, no one wants you to get by in this galaxy. No one wants you to have any amount of, you know, personal freedom. It's so much what's at stake in all of Solo. And, you know, you just dream of flying among the stars, going about your business, seeing things, having adventures. You just want to get by, and no one's going to let you. Mm-hmm. And this is the you know, this thing that you strap on your leg, you strap at your side, and you need it to defend yourself, because it's a dog eat dog world, is what Beckett is saying to him. And that whole thing could have been some big finale, right? Some mm-hmm. some marksman shootout. Is he as talented as Beckett was? You know, is he as good of a shot? And it's so just brutal and blunt. And it is just about Han learning that lesson. And in this particular case, we even get that validation where Beckett was like, you know, first smart thing you did, I would have killed you. It was you or me. I made it that way. Yeah. And you're only standing here because, you know, you're trying to get through the universe and you got that DL-44 at your side.
Yeah. And it starts maybe at Han shot first, but it works everything you're talking about and everything we've been discussing, survival, reacting, and the leaps from Han aren't always about craziness. More often than not, they're about his heart, right? Figure this out later. Let's do what we feel is right and what I feel is right to get us to the next phase. And I think it all comes from that. So yes, I'm going to watch Solo tonight, I think.
That sounds great. Here's my final question for you, Ken, in our blaster pew, pew, pew discussion. Do you think in the Star Wars galaxy, there are novelty blasters that shoot bubbles?
I think not yet canon, but we're going to get a follow-up to the Black Spire book by Delilah S. Dawson. We'll get a follow-up, and we'll go to the next day. They'll do a big announcement. No insight into this, folks. They'll do a big announcement of Galaxy's Edge is going to the next day, right? Because it's really one day that you're reenacting when you're there. They're going to go the next day, and that's when novelty bubble blasters will be introduced.
Absolutely. And I think the person selling them absolutely has to be Hondo. I think in his old age, this is Hondo's retirement, is selling fun novelty blasters that shoot bubbles. They're bright colors and they come with a story, right?
Yes.
Of some adventure he had with one of these.
Teach the kids the right way to shoot.
Don't eat the bubbles, though. Not good for you. Any closing thoughts?
No, great discussion. I love the memory lanes. I love finding out how your love and appreciation and even understanding of Star Wars, number one, can't always change, can't always grow, and can't always, get a little more, the whole picture taken into it. But I also love that you and I can find things that back in 83, 84, 85 really were there and formed our Star Wars love and how we look at it the rest of our existence, much like Han in a blaster.
Yeah. And this is just a great episode. Thank you for doing it, Ken. I know you have done that ranked before, and hell, we might do another ranked again. But this is just episode for me is really about there's so much to explore in mm-hmm. Star Wars. And, I am a lightsaber guy. I think about lightsabers a lot. We've talked about lightsabers a lot. And it's just a great reminder that there's just always so many different things to celebrate, and we could do 8 different episodes about different elements of blasters. So this is great to celebrate something we don't talk about as often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And with that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's a key part, so we have to pay it. It's due.
That's right. Pay due to the pew, pew, pew. Do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Absolutely. We are on Twitter at 4CenterPod. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is 4CenterPodcast. We're available on Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, Spotify, and more. Just search and find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/4Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/4Center. Get into that Discord from our Patreon page and talk about blasters over there. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. There I have information and links to upcoming stand-up shows. I have one locally in L.A. on August 31st and more on the way. So stay tuned for that and for Joseph and his adventures. Joseph, tell them where to find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my other comedy adventures, links to comedy albums, links to other podcasts, some shows I've been a writer for, all on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Hans DL44, this has been 4Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.